Welcome to All the Fresh Peeps for joining us on week two of our extraordinarily fresh football league podcast. Small victory for all of us that they brought us back for week two, so we can rejoice in that. My name's Brad. My team name is Smoke on the Water, if I can speak. And I'm joined tonight by Ish and Simon. How you guys doing tonight?
Doing well. How you doing?
All right.
Doing good, Brad. Doing good.
Sir, good to talk to you guys tonight.
Yeah, for sure. Pleasure to be here. And I just want to say also, you know, it's a pleasure being able to join the Fresh family and, you know, coming in as a rookie this year. So thanks for the opportunity, guys.
Yep. I'm happy to be here as well. Going into my fifth year. It's been the best league I've been part of, and I'm excited for the podcast and the future of this league. And let's get this podcast rolling.
Sounds good to me. I'm in my second year, and it's awesome. So it's good to have you guys tonight, and we'll jump right into this. Let's start with your guys' thoughts about week one. Maybe your team to start with, and then we'll get some overall thoughts. Ish, if you want to start.
Yeah, so my matchup was with Little Teapot. At first I went in thinking that I was done for. Like, I was going to get, you know, smashed. But it turns out he got squished by Ish. Whoever coined those phrases is brilliant. But anyways, just to talk a little bit about that, you know, I really got saved by the Minnesota defense. D'Angelo Williams came through. You know, we have a whole section really, you know, to talk about the different games, but I really have to say there are some bright spots on my team, a few things to address, but I really think I can, you know, make something out of this year.
Yeah, you definitely got off to a good start for week one. Simon, how about you?
I mean, it was a hard introduction to the league for me. I was playing Ronnie, the great one. Had a couple rookie mistakes, not switching out Green Beckham for Brandon LaFell and not putting LeGarrette Blount in my flex position. He scored some good points, but I did a little bit better than I expected. You know, I got the boy Willie Snead in there. I'm hoping he's going to have a really big year moving forward. And I wanted to get Allen Hurns as well during the auction draft. Didn't quite get him, but I really like Willie Snead moving forward, and I'm hoping that AP will not be so anticlimactic next time.
Yeah, he had a little bit of a down week to start off. Now, I don't think that'll be the regular for him, so he can probably expect some better things in the future. I guess for me, pulling the defending champ in week one, maybe that was bad luck. I'm not really sure. I thought overall, coming off the season I did last year, at least for week one, I had an improvement. Now, a lot of that might depend on future play from Spencer Ware and the whole Jamal Charles and who's going to play or when he's healthy or anything. But, I gave the champ a little bit of a run the first week. So I guess I'm hopefully trending upwards a little bit. At least that's the hope so far. I hate to take more victories out of a week one fantasy loss, but that's all I really got for now.
I really like to see close games, especially in the league where it's competitive in the sense that there are a lot of teams that could do good or could do bad. And yeah, we have these dominating teams at the top of the roster, but it's good to see it's good to see close games for me. I mean, I love competition. I love competitive games, and I hope to see more of those moving forward.
You know, I've been in this league long enough to really believe everyone has a shot. I mean, just on paper, I was definitely supposed to lose yesterday. I mean, yes, I do know a little bit about the people I picked up. You know, I'd like to trust my genius a little bit, but anyone can win anytime. I mean, I've seen people projected to win by a flat out 40 points and lose, you know, and It's all about getting hot at the right time. And I think that moving forward, we're going to see lots of upsets, lots of them.
Yeah, I agree with you. It definitely seems that way. I have to go back for a second, though. I need to make a T-shirt that says, "Trust my genius." I like that. Might have to steal that from you.
Yeah. I want a T-shirt called "Squished by Ish." That's gonna be my slogan. Don't get squished by Ish.
I'm glad you like that.
Yeah. I want to make one that says "Don't draft a rookie in the veteran draft."
Well, that's a good life lesson for us all for future drafts, I suppose, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, you guys got any other, generalizations maybe from week one, maybe a surprise of any sorts? I know you kind of talked, I know Ish talked about it a little bit. Maybe, you know, he was expected to lose, but was there any other real surprises you guys noticed that happened around the league?
Well, I'll tell you this. What's not a surprise is Keenan Allen is injured again. Man, that guy can't catch a break. But talking about last podcast, and we got to go into this way more later, but didn't the Frenchman say he was going to win? Didn't he say that?
Absolutely he did. I believe he said he should just start the season 1-0 or something along those lines. So, yeah, we might have to get into that a little bit later because I think he's licking his wounds a little bit after week one.
Yeah, you know, if anything, we have to just trash him on this show. You can't predict a win and not come through.
I mean, even me, the rookie, would have beat him by 5 points this game. So he's definitely got to be reevaluating his position right now.
For me, there wasn't a lot of big surprises for the league. I know we touched on a little bit last week on the podcast that the team seemed maybe a little more even. I think that kind of played out week one with the closer games throughout the league, minus getting squished by Ish. But, other than that, I think most of the games were at least competitive and went into Monday night with still and out. So I definitely enjoyed that. It's fun to watch. It gives all the games a little bit more meaning when you're flipping around on Sundays and even the two games that happened on Monday, because there was so much in doubt for the league. And I think that definitely added to week one for everyone. I guess we've kind of touched on some of the games. We'll kind of go over maybe a little bit of a wrap up of the first week. Chad or Stairway to Seven defeated me, Brad, Smoke on the Water, 152 to 142. And then JR, Nemesis, defeated Jewel, Hostile Takeover, 148 to 147, in a game that was decided by less than a point, actually. Ronnie, the Great One, got high points and defeated Simon, Waiver Wire Warriors, 152 to 126. Ross, the Fresh Crew, defeated AJ, Andre, P. McCoy, 130 to 121. Ish, the Big Ish, defeated Shane, Little Teapot, 144 to 89, the biggest margin of victory for the week. Clint, Sandy Ravage, defeated Skip, Sincere Douche, 152 to 129. And Roland, House Money, defeated Eric, Jacob High Rollers, 147 to 146 on a game that was decided on Monday Night Football by interception, and I use interception in quotes. But that's how that game turned out. And, we kind of touched on Keenan Allen a little bit earlier. What do you guys think is Shane's strategy, perhaps, after losing Keenan Allen? He had a rough week for week one, but losing, one of his better wide receivers here going forward for the year, do you think what's his strategy he's got going on?
Man, as I said in my blurb, the pickings are very slim, and I do not know how he'll recover from that. I mean, he has to see if he wins a game or two in the next three games, and if he doesn't, he needs to start thinking about consolidating and trading off his players for keepers, man, because he's headed straight for the future.
Yeah, I think he's in a tough position right now. We start three wide receivers, and his next guy is Devin Funchess. Julio Jones obviously is a powerhouse, but it seems like he has injury problems too. So if it were me, I think I'd definitely be able to move or try to move some of these running backs or I mean somebody to be able to get a good trade going, because I mean if not, then his flex positions are not going to be anybody at wide receiver, which is a highest scoring position. So if I were him, I'd be trying to maybe move Lamar Miller or somebody to try and fill up that third wide receiver spot.
Yeah, it's tough. Keenan Allen injury kind of put him in a tough situation week one already. So I guess we'll see moving forward if he decides to make any moves to help his team for this year, or if he's already looking forward to 2017. I hate to say that for week one, but I guess that's what happens when you lose one of your better players.
Hey, I'm going to put it out there. I'll trade him Stewart and Cruz for Lamar Miller. He's willing.
Oh, we got a trade offer out there, so maybe Shane can get back to you after he hears this, or you can shoot him an offer here after the show.
And I mean, Ish definitely knows what it means to be hurt by a trade sometimes too. You know what I mean? Like losing Le'Veon Bell, but I'm just gonna put that out there too.
Yeah. I guess we'll see how Shane handles it moving forward. What do you guys think of Roland's team, you know, like preseason rankings, the favorite for the Putra Trophy, and he comes out and wins first game and has, one of the higher scores for the week. Do you guys think Roland's team's actually getting better, or was that just kind of a week one fluky type situation? What do you guys think?
I mean, I'm not really sure. I mean, whenever you have Cam Newton, it's obvious that he can just completely blow it up. And I think that is one of the high points, but he didn't necessarily have a great game versus Denver. I will say though, he did make one of the better pickups that I think was in the draft with Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, he's a guy who you don't really expect him to do too much due to his age and some of his injury problems. But I mean, he came out, had a good season last season. The season before that, he was, you know, very uncharacteristically bad that year. But he, like, I do like the Fitzgerald pickup. I think that adds score potential to his team. But, yeah, you know, when I look at his roster, I really don't know where all of the points come from. I mean, Jeremy Maclin's a pretty good mid-range wide receiver. Larry Fitzgerald, of course. But I don't know. I think Cam Newton does have the ability to blow up, and maybe he just got good games from all of his players coming up.
Yeah, speaking of Roland, I mean, I have to say, he should also just try to trade me Cam Newton, you know. I'm just putting it out there. You know, I'll be, you know, he's a Giant fan, I'm a Giant fan. I'll give him Cruz, you know, and Palmer for Cam Newton, you know what I mean? But, you know, one thing that I think that could work for him down the line is if Jamaal Charles comes back and, you know, takes over most of the reps, that could be very good. Will Fuller looks stunning. So, I mean, he might have three decent wide receivers. His flexes suck, but he can just, like, flex Martellus Bennett. Danny Amendola might become pretty good. So, I mean, I think he's not in too bad shape as we think because of picking up those quarterbacks. But he could definitely use another wide receiver or something like that. And, you know, making a move with one of those quarterbacks. In this league, he's not going to get a lot for a quarterback. So, I mean, if he could get some value there, you know, he should try it.
True. Yeah, I think he's got that ace up his sleeve with Jamaal Charles, depending if he can come back healthy and then stay healthy when and if he comes back here. I mean, Roland was, I don't know if you want to say touchdown lucky the first week, touchdown dependent, however you want to say it. He did get six touchdowns between Maclin and Fuller and Fitzgerald, and DeMarco Murray actually threw in two touchdowns. So, you know, is he still the favorite to win the Putrid, or, you know, who's to say, really? Like you said, if he can flip somebody maybe for a quarterback, or, you know, if Jamaal Charles can come back. I think a lot of that depends on how things go here. So I think it might be too early to say if Roland's team actually got a lot better, but, I mean, maybe he's going in the right direction. Who knows? Maybe DeMarco Murray's headed for another big season, and Larry Fitzgerald can defy age for a wide receiver and just keep doing it. So maybe that's where we're heading with his team.
I really don't think that he's the leader for the Putrid. The leader for the Putrid, in my opinion, is definitely Shane, the little teapot. I mean, Tyrod Taylor, I don't know. He's all right, but
yeah, just threw it down, by the way, though, is, you know what I mean? I got him in my other league, so I got to defend my boy Tyrod.
Yeah, I mean, you got to, but it really depends on how Emmanuel Sanders plays. How does Delaney play? You know, Rashard Jennings could be good if Coleman takes over the Freeman role. Yeah, I mean, he might bounce back, but he spent a lot of, you know, I mean, a decent amount of money on Keenan Allen, and for that, for him not to play, you know, that was like his second receiver. Definitely going to hurt him, and the way I see it right now is that on average, Roland's going to score more every week than him, so he's probably the leader for the Putrid Watch.
Yeah, you might be right about that with the Keenan Allen injury, and but like we said, we'll see how that goes and how that affects his team moving forward. I know we kind of already mentioned it earlier too, but I mean, let's get into it. What do you guys think about the Frenchman, Mr. Andre P. McCoy? Is his team in trouble? I mean, he was on the podcast last week talking about starting 1-0, and it was a guarantee, and he was mad that he wasn't number one in the power rankings, and he booed the commish. What do you guys think about his team first week and moving forward?
Well, he's got two players on a Thursday night this week. I don't know how I feel about that. I'm not following the scores right now for McCoy and Brandon Marshall and all that. Vincent Jackson doesn't look too hot. I mean, that might hurt him a lot. Antonio Gates might get some burn now that Keenan Allen's out. Steve Smith might take a backseat to Wallace and others. I don't know. He just doesn't have... he doesn't have any really standout players, you know, players that take you over the top, you know, like stars. We're in a league where stars, you know, win games.
Yeah, I mean, his players tonight, you know, I mean, Forte scored. LeSean McCoy is struggling. I actually have him in another league. Brandon Marshall's having an average game so far. I mean, he might end up with over 100 receiving yards tonight, but I mean, I think he has a solid squad. I mean, he's got two pretty good wide receivers, two good running backs. But as I said, like, a solid squad, you know, not the kind of squad that's going to put you way over the hill. I mean, but that's just my opinion. I think that he did make some pretty good pickups. I mean, Jarvis Landry is good. But, yeah, I guess we have to see how things keep on progressing. I'm really interested in seeing Laquan Treadwell moving forward, though, too.
Yeah, he actually has three guys in tonight's game, like we said, Marshall, McCoy, and Forte. And as of right now, I guess they're just starting the third quarter, and he's got 25.5 points out of the three of them. So, you know, that's a little bit above projected for those three for the night. So he might be off to a good start this week, which is not good news for me. So, but I'm sure he's breathing a sigh of relief with Brandon Marshall coming back. A lot of us saw in the first half, he went down with what looked to be a pretty bad knee injury, but he's back in the game. And I would probably say that his team would be similar to a little teapot if Brandon Marshall went down the way Keenan Allen did.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Then you would have to depend upon the rookie Treadwell, which you know, is always a flyer with a rookie. I don't think there's too many rookies who usually have over 1,000 yards receiving in a season.
Yeah, especially with Minnesota's quarterback situation too, that might be a little dicey.
I mean, I think if he lost Marshall, it would probably be worse for him because Keenan Allen wasn't actually Shane's best receiver. His best receiver is Julio Jones. I mean, Marshall is definitely AJ's top receiver, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, that's like me losing Odell, man.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. So I'm sure AJ, he's out there watching this game. He's probably breathing a little sigh of relief that Marshall came back out. All right. Another one is we'll talk about the champ, defending champ, Stairway to Seven, Chad. What do you guys think about his start to the season? He was just missed high points, you know, without Gronk. You know, we're assuming Gronk might be back this week or, you know, he'll be back here shortly with Brady. So he's already getting near high points without one of his better players. Is you guys think he's in for a repeat or you think there's just more competition this year? What do you guys think about the champ, defending champ moving forward?
I mean, the keepers that he brought into this season are just stupid. Antonio Brown, Robinson, and Gronk, that's a tough to contend with. And when I say stupid, I mean stupid good. That's really tough to contend with. I like the pickup of Stephon Diggs in the draft. I mean, he's tough, you know. He's tough, and Antonio Brown is one of those guys who would just put a whole team on their back and win the game. So I think any given game, maybe 40 to 50% of those games, Antonio Brown to have a monster score. So he's definitely somebody to contend with.
Well, let me tell you this. He doesn't have running backs. Yes, you can win a league without the running backs necessary, but I mean, Yeldon and Duke Johnson. I don't know, man. That's just not enough to get it done. Really, it's really going to be a tough situation for him. Forsett, I'm hoping he's going to lose his job to Dixon by week 4 or 5. I don't know. I think that if his wide receivers struggle, I don't think Allen Robinson is going to have the year he had last year. You know, Doug Baldwin is going to score, but he's... You know, it's Seattle. They just don't throw the ball a ton. So I really think that, you know, he will score a lot every week. But what I do foresee happening is he might lose a game that's really important because his wide receivers lay an egg, and that will cost him in the playoffs for sure. I don't think he repeats.
Oh, calling it out right there. Yeah, it's, you know, he's relying on a rookie quarterback right now. I know he also has Fitzpatrick on his bench, but he's been starting Dak Prescott. So that could be up and down a little bit. And it's really, man, it's hard to bet against anybody with Antonio Brown because Antonio Brown does Antonio Brown things every game, it seems like, especially when Roethlisberger's healthy. So he seems to be tough to beat with that. But I agree. I mean, I think the running backs – could probably use some work. I don't know if Duke Johnson is going to be that guy. I mean, he already doesn't really get goal line carries or anything for Cleveland. He's pretty dependent on, you know, the PPR stat. TJ Yeldon, you know, Ivory was out week one, you know, but he's probably going to split carries a little bit whenever he comes back. So that could be, like you said, running backs may not be good enough, but, you know, it's tough when he gets Gronkowski back. I mean, he's going to have Gronkowski and Brown every week. And then, you know, if Robinson can be close to what he was last year and Baldwin and Diggs, hey, he's going to be tough. So we'll see how that goes. I mean, it's you know, long season, a lot of things happen. But I think he's off to a good start, at least with his team. All right, let's move on to the waiver wire. Get a little discussion about the pickups of the week and maybe some thoughts behind that and everything. One of the ones I noticed first off was Nemesis, you know, depending on who he plays, that he likes to change his name. So he picked up Wentz off the waiver wire. What do you guys think about that?
I mean, honestly, I haven't seen too much from Wentz, but all I can say is, I mean, they got Jordan Matthews there in Philadelphia. I mean, Zach Ertz is a very solid tight end, but I don't know. You know, I haven't really been impressed with Philly's passing game, you know, of recent. I mean, they seem like they're trying to plug so many different quarterbacks in there. There was that one sleeper quarterback. His name is escaping me. I think Kevin Cobb. Maybe was his name, who everybody expected was going to do really good in that system, and they just haven't, you know. And so I don't know, you know, I'm not a high flyer on Philadelphia quarterbacks, but that's just my opinion on it.
Right. Well, it's tough to rely on a rookie, but Ish, let me ask you this. Do you think there's any chance that JR plays Wentz over Andrew Luck because Andrew Luck's playing in Denver against that defense this week?
I remember the last Andrew Luck outing against Denver was pretty good. I wouldn't do it. I don't think he does it. You know, Wentz looked good. I mean, he looked like the best rookie quarterback to me, at least in terms of star power. What I mean by that, Dak Prescott looked amazing at controlling the game, but he didn't do any like highlight, you know, game changing plays, in my opinion. Like he didn't scramble and, you know, make things happen as much. But Wentz did. Wentz, man, delivered some nice passes. But then again, that was against the Browns, so we don't really know. You know what I mean? Browns suck.
Yeah, I feel you on that.
Yeah, I guess one of the bigger differences, if you're going to compare Prescott and Wentz, is it seemed Prescott was a lot more dump-off heavy. He didn't – I mean, I think Dez Bryant had one catch for 8 yards. He didn't really try to go downfield at all. I know Wentz had a couple of nice deep downfield passes to Matthews and Aguilar. So I'm not sure if that will keep up. I mean, like you said, the Browns defense is suspect probably at best. But, you know, it seems like he's got the arm to do that. But I don't think I could start him over Andrew Luck, even with Luck playing in Denver and Philadelphia playing against Chicago secondary that isn't one of the better ones in the league. But, you know, I mean, he did pick him up, so it is a possibility that he could do that. I guess that'd be a big early season move if he did that. But another pickup for the week, the highest spending one of the week was Ross picked up Jalen Richard, the backup running back for Oakland, who had 3 carries for 84 yards and a touchdown week one. He spent $101 on him. What do you guys think of spending $101 on a backup running back for the Oakland Raiders?
Man, we don't even know if he's the backup running back. He might be. Like,
I'm with Ish on that.
You know, I spoke to Skip about this, and I was like, bro, because I have Latavius Murray in a few other leagues. And he was like, well, you have to think way ahead in this league. And I was like, yeah, but now that we are the rules have changed for the league, meaning every pickup is going to cost you, right, if I'm correct.
Right.
So you spend all your fab money on that. You cannot make any adjustments in the future. That means you have to be pretty darn, like, sure that you don't want to pick up anyone else for the rest of the year. And I don't know about that. That to me, that's too much to commit. I mean, I would have gone for him, you know, just in case, but not $101. Like, if I really, really believed in somebody, it would have been around 50 or something like that. But 100? Nah, that's too much. Not even like even when I went for like Sharp and what's the name? Boyd. Man, I went around 50. I was not paying $100 and something.
Yeah, I guess I could speak to the Sharp pickup since I got him for 106. The 101 on Oakland's possibly backup running back, you know, likely third string running back with Washington being the actual backup. Makes me feel a little bit better about spending 106 on at least Tennessee's number one in targets wide receiver for week one. I know that. So I'm kind of with you guys. I'm not sure I would spend $101 on a guy who had three carries week one. I know it was impressive. I think he had a 75-yard touchdown run in one of them. But that just seems like a steep price to pay for a guy who's not going to get many carries, at least in the near future, with Murray and possibly Washington in front of him.
This is something that I see a lot in other leagues, too, is you'll see a guy bust a run, and it looks impressive on the stat sheet, but you go back and watch the run, and, like, the defense is tripping over themselves, and, you know, one guy's 10 guys on the field, and it's a red carpet laid out. You know what I mean? Like, right. I mean, these are some of the fastest guys in sports. And I think, you know, if they get any kind of decent run, they're gone. And I don't know if it speaks to what he can do in the future. Now, what I will say is that's going to give him a lot of confidence as a player. And, you know, maybe he does have the talent. I can't automatically cut him out, but I've seen a lot of, like, 80-yard touchdown run guys do nothing later in the season. Now, I don't know if that's going to be him, but I mean, I'm at least interested to see what's going to happen.
I'll go ahead.
Going back to, you know, your Tajay Sharpe pickup, man, I was pissed off, man, after that first game because, you know, I picked up Rishard Matthews, man, in the draft, hoping he would get them touches. I was so disappointed. Hopefully, you know, I mean, hopefully they'll split it up so we both get some points, you know what I'm saying?
Well, there you go. I think that's probably more likely in the future, but I was definitely pretty happy with at least the first week with Sharpe getting 11 targets and 7 catches. I think it's a good start for his first game. But I guess the last thing I'll say on Jalen Richard is, you know, we talked about Wentz against the Browns defense. We got to keep in mind that Jalen Richard had 84 yards against the New Orleans defense. Isn't really stopping too many people these days or any day. So, you know, I guess we'll see how that turns out in the future. If something happens to Murray, maybe that'll turn out to be a really good pickup or something. But I guess we're going to have to wait and see on that one. The next waiver wire deal is our commish, Skip, picked up Jeremy Curley, a wide receiver from San Francisco, and he spent $71 on him. Curley had 7 catches for 61 yards week one on 11 targets, so he had a lot of targets, a lot of catches, not, you know, less than 10 yards per catch, but and no touchdowns. What do you guys think about the commissioner picking up Jeremy Curley for $71.
Yeah, that wasn't a bad pickup. I just don't like the price. I mean, but he was probably the one player I was really targeting. But yeah, again, $71. I don't know. But he does, you know, in a Chip Kelly offense. I mean, he might emerge as a good wide receiver three in this league, and, you know, then it would be worth it for Skip.
Yeah, I mean, I like the, you know, the week one stats were substantive. I mean, you have 11 targets. That's always good to see. I mean, he's 5'9", 188, so he looks like a more kind of Eddie Royal kind of guy. So, I mean, it could be when he starts meeting a lot of the better cornerbacks in the league, they're going to shut him down. I mean, he's a slot guy, I'm sure, but I mean, we'll just have to see. You know, undersized receivers oftentimes don't put up the kind of big stats that we expect. You know, I learned that lesson with T.Y. Hilton last year when the system wasn't running well, it seemed like he wasn't the kind of guy who could really go up and get the ball, you know, on an island with the defender. So, I mean, we have to wait to see how that plays out. But, I mean, I think it was a good pickup from the standpoint of the stats that you saw were good. I mean, yeah, only 61 yards, but, I mean, receptions high up there and, sure, more importantly, you know, targets. So he might be that kind of Edelman kind of guy where he'll just get, like mop up a whole bunch of receptions, I mean, even if they're for short yards too.
Right. Yeah, he could be that PPR monster type player for San Francisco. I mean, yeah. Catches, right? I mean, I guess my only real issue with that would be I have a hard time trusting Blaine Gabbert as my quarterback to get my wide receiver fantasy.
Yeah, I get that.
But, you know, I mean, week one, though, they were solid. They played solid. Maybe Chip Kelly can get something out of Blaine Gabbert, maybe Curley has a chance to, like you said, be that Edelman guy, or he maybe catch 80, 90, 100 passes in that system, not for a ton of yards or touchdowns, but he get those PPR points, like you said, as a wide receiver three or at least a bye week option down the road if you're a shorter receiver too.
Yeah, and I mean, speaking of Gabbert too, it could be a thing where he starts to rely on Curley. You know, like a lot of inexperienced quarterbacks, sometimes they'll just rely on the target. So if Curley can be that guy, then I think it's a solid pickup.
Yeah, that's true. All right. We'll move on to Ronnie. His big pickup over the last week since the last podcast was he spent $24 on Marshawn Lynch, a guy who's not even in the league right now. I guess there was some rumors over the weekend that he was talking about coming out of retirement, possibly week four, week five, somewhere in there. Maybe after Seattle's bye week or even them buying out his contract and then him going to play for somebody else, because I think they still owe him like $9 million if he comes back. So what do you guys think of Ronnie spending $24 on a guy who's not even in the league right now?
Unless he knows something about them paying him in Skittles, it's probably not going to happen. He really got to taste the rainbow to come out of retirement. But
I like that.
I'll tell you this. I really do hope he comes out of retirement and takes over, the starting job. And then Skip will be screwed. I believe Skip has Rawls and Michael. So, yeah, he would be screwed.
Yeah. I mean, Beast Mode is my favorite running back, my favorite player probably of all time. So I think seeing him come back would be awesome. But, it's risky, but it's almost like that Josh Gordon risky, where you don't know if he's going to smoke another blunt or not, and then you lose him for the season. But while he's in there, he could be one of the top guys. And I don't know. I was a little surprised when Marshawn Lynch hung it up. And I definitely thought, sometimes players, they'll get that itch to come back. So, if he does come back and play for another team, like it said, if he comes back and plays for Seattle, it's going to be tough. I think Rawls right now is a better runner. But if he goes plays for another team, I mean, $24 is a steal.
Yeah, because I think he'll get carries if he does come back. Somewhere else, and just clear up the record, Skip does have Michael and Rawls, so that would definitely hurt him if he came back to Seattle. But from everything I've heard, and I heard an interview with him, then somebody even asked him if he's coming back, and he said he's happy being retired, and he didn't sound like somebody who was going to come back. So I don't know if that was just an internet rumor type thing that somebody started, or you never know if like his agent throws it out and gets some public opinion or some feelers from other teams if anybody's actually interested and wants to pay him for another year, because like you said, it was a little surprising he retired. I think he's only like 30, and there's guys like Adrian Peterson who's actually older. I know, running back's a tough position, and the style of runner that that Beast Mode was, makes him probably an older 30 and the amount of carries they gave him. But, only being 30, he could probably, he could probably help somebody out maybe for half a year or something. I just wanted to ask you guys about the waiver wire real quick. I've noticed that both of you have all of your waiver wire money still left, or, most of it. What's your – you've seen, like, myself and Chad and even now Ross spend all of our free agent budget money. What's your guys' philosophy and thinking on saving your money thus far?
So I didn't intend to save money like as much as I have now. It's just you guys really bid high. And the reason why I think I need money down the line is because I've always been the type that likes to explore on players, pick them up before games. And I think with the new rules, it kind of like hurt me a little bit in that strategy. Maybe I missed it somewhere. I just didn't think about it. But what I would do is I would pick up people who I was really interested in with by bidding on them. But then I would go and scour the waiver wire afterwards, pick up like two or three people, you know, who I thought could be potential impact players in the future, and see what they do for that week, and then drop them and pick up a new set. So that kind of like threw me off a little bit. I mean, I'll still probably just do it with a dollar. I'm not sure if you could bid with $0, but if someone clears that up for me, that'd be great. But yeah, that definitely did throw off my my strategy a bit.
Yeah, it's definitely good to hear from Ish, you know, some of the things in the past that you can learn from. But I think for me, I'm still getting used to the league. I mean, I'm coming from a league I've played in for maybe about 6 years where things are so basic, you know, it's literally whoever clicks first gets that player. And I think the next level of strategy is, you know, a little bit to adjust to for me. But I mean, and there are also certain things I didn't know. Like, I didn't know that you could go back and pick up the rookie players. You know, I probably would have gone in and put a bid for DeAndre Washington. But I think that moving forward, my plan now is going to be to try and hang on to money in case my guys get injured. I mean, I really don't have a lot of depth at all. So, and also, you know, giving guys time to work out. Okay, are they really going to be worth a pickup or not? And I know that's a little bit of a double-edged sword. I mean, you can't gain anything if you don't take risks. But at the same time, you know, maybe there's a player that comes out much later in the season and I have the money to spend on them where others don't. So I think it's all just a strategic move too.
Sure. Yeah, you'll be in better shape if somebody kind of pops up later on in the year that you have more money to bid on. So that strategy could definitely work. I was just looking at the recent transactions on the site, and I mean, JR picked up Carson Wentz for, it looks like, $0. So I'm pretty sure you can pick up somebody for $0 if nobody else bids on them.
You can make a pickup every single week, regardless of whether you have that money or not.
Yeah, I think as long as, I mean, if somebody bids a dollar on them, you're going to lose. But yeah, I think as long as, you know, if you want them, that you can actually get a guy for zero. I guess now it's time to jump into everybody's favorite segment of the week, and that's the Commissioner's Corner with our fearless leader, Skip, and have him go over the week 2 power rankings. So without further ado, here he is.
All right. Hey, guys. So I guess you addressed the elephant in the room. I was actually tempted to jump in and tell you that you can do $0 bids. So in general, if you spend all your money, you still have the opportunity to get guys on the waiver. I guess it doesn't doom you completely, but yeah, you do compromise your ability to get a player, you know, if it's a contested bid.
I appreciate you clearing that up.
Yeah, no problem. And then, you know, one thing you might want to watch for is the waiver priority. So the secondary system to FAB on the site is the waiver priority. So if two players put in a similar dollar amount bid, then waiver priority wins out there.
Right.
Okay. Does waiver priority only kick in on exact dollar bids, or is it within some kind of range?
No, it's exact dollar bids. So you have to bid the exact amount as another player for that waiver priority to kick in.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for the notification.
Yeah, no problem. All right, so I'm going to go through these power rankings really quickly. They don't differ too much from the preseason power rankings. Actually, that's a lie. They do differ. And they don't necessarily differ at the top, but the bottom has been all shuffled up. And as I mentioned on last week's podcast, you could basically put all the names in a bag and then just empty the bag, and then that's your order. So I'm going to start out with the first two. The first two are our defending champ, Chad, and then our defending third place winner, Ross. And I know that the number two ranking of Ross is a little controversial given how he scored in week one. But I look at his roster and I see the ability for him to put up many points. So number three and four, I have JR, our nemesis, and Ronnie, the great one. Ronnie, I think, had the biggest rise up the power rankings. He was pretty dismal last year, had his had his losing team just because he had a lot of injuries, but he did come back this week one and get high points, and can't blame him for that. So here we go to 5 and 6. We have Clint, Sandy Ravage, and we have Ish at number 6. So Clint had a pretty convincing win over me, and I was pretty embarrassed by that win, as you can see by my ranking on the power rankings. And then Ish came through with a huge win over the president. And so I'm looking for big things from Ish going forward. He may be able to make a trade or two to get himself into truly contending positions. At number 7, I have our first loser of the week, who is Jewel. And if you recall, Jewel was actually ranked pretty highly in the preseason and week 1 power rankings. She went down just a little bit. She lost by less than a point. I don't think this necessarily reflects poorly on her. And then at number 8, I actually have our good host here, Brad. He didn't lose too badly to Chad, and he, in fact, put up a really good fight towards the end. He looked like he was charging towards the champion. And I think that showing actually warrants this top 8 considerations.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. All right, so 9 and 10, I have Roland, who is our lowest-ranked winner of the week. Roland was in contention, I think, pretty astoundingly for the Putrid Award, and I don't necessarily think he's out of the gutter yet, but he did enough to show me that he should be ranked sort of in this middle to bottom portion of the power rankings. And then number 10, the Frenchman, he has fallen. And you know what? I think looking at his team, he may stay around this area of the power rankings, so we'll see what happens in the coming weeks.
Ah, but Forte and Marshall are balling tonight.
Yeah, yeah, they are. They are. So it'll be interesting to see how he rebounds in week 2. And if he can, then he'll go right back up the power rankings.
Oh, man, don't say that. He's playing me.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, you do have 3 players of his that are going to be down after tonight, so you'll have a good idea of where you stand.
True.
All right, so 11 and 12, I have Eric, Jacob High Rollers, and then 12 is Simon, Waiver Wire Warriors. Of course, you both know you got to do something to get back up the power rankings. You experienced some pretty gruesome losses last week. So we'll see what happens. And you know, Simon, I think you played Nemesis this week, so maybe you can beat him because he is truly an ass, and I always like to see him lose. So hopefully you can get it done.
Absolutely.
Oh, anytime GR loses is a win for me.
Exactly. All right, and then 13 and 14, this shouldn't be very surprising to you. I have myself ranked at 13. This team has no stars like Ish was talking about. It kind of just has a lot of players who can score, but no, you know, true superstars. So I'm not sure that'll actually go over unless, you know, one of these guys actually breaks out and becomes a superstar. And then number 14, Shane, losing Keenan Allen, having Tyrod Taylor, although Taylor's actually doing well tonight. He's ranked at 14 until he can show me that his team can actually improve. Otherwise, it seems like he'll be destined for putrid. And that's it for the power rankings.
All right, this time now we're to the part of our program where we bring on our weekly guest. And this week's guest is a familiar face, as he was the guest from week 1. And that is Ronnie. We're happy to have the great one back in the building, taking a break from being a superstar here again tonight. So, Ronnie, how's it going tonight?
Pretty good, fellas. It's good to be back. Like I said, from this moment forward, just call me the great Nostradamus.
The great Nostradamus. So, are we just going to make this a regular thing after the commissioner's corner every week? Is it going to be Ronnie's corner? Or
yeah, that sounds good to me, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I figured you wouldn't mind that. So, So I guess we'll start with your prediction from week 1. You stated in your interview from week 1 that you'd be back. I don't know if you predicted you'd be back so soon, but here you are week 2. So how'd that prediction come about?
Just a little confidence in my starters that's on my team. And like I said, as long as my guys are healthy, I feel like we have a chance to compete every week. I didn't expect it to happen, like I said, this early, but you know, they surprised me as well, but you know, here we are.
Yeah, you definitely had a solid week 1. You edged out Chad for high points. I mean, Did you think, I mean, did you expect your team that you could come out that way, or was it really a true surprise to you that you performed that well as an overall team the first week?
Well, like I said, I think it was a little mixed bag. I was expecting more from Dez Bryant and not as much from Amir Abdullah or Woodhead, but it's kind of, like I said, it all balanced out. I also expected the Rams defense to be a lot better than they were, especially against the 49ers, but they underachieved as well. So like that little edging out of Chad, it should have been a lot greater than that. You know, they sort of made it close. They gave Chad a chance to be on here tonight.
Right. So, you know, Dez definitely disappointed you with you the first week. I noticed that you did not start Mike Wallace. I know you caught maybe some flack, let's say, for drafting Mike Wallace and spending what you spent on him in the draft. I guess he'll probably be maybe in your lineup be here moving forward. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, not necessarily moving forward. I'm going to do it matchup based. I think this week Baltimore's playing Cleveland. That's a good opportunity to see some deep balls being thrown for Mike Wallace to get a couple more catches, maybe hit the end zone a little bit this week. So I'm going to go ahead and put him in my flex spot. Like I said, I took a flyer on him in the draft. $9, I didn't think it was that much for him being in a new situation with somebody like Flacco. So, yeah, I mean, I'm going to play him, you know, strategically as we go forward.
Right. And then we talked about it a little bit earlier in our waiver wire section, but we noticed that you picked up Marshawn Lynch for $24.
Oh man,
thinking behind that.
I figured that would come up. Basically, you know, it was just a thought when I heard the news. Marshawn is considering coming back. Who knows? You know, the waiver wire, the fab, as we call it. You know, is a lot of people don't really hold much stock in having some of it. So when I heard Marshawn was coming back, I figured somebody might be willing to take this chance and hold him on their bench as well. So at first I put in a bid of like $2 at first, and then I was just like, nah, somebody else is gonna throw something out here. And then I went up to like 12, and then I said, you know what, somebody else is gonna try to spend a little money. I don't trust them. So I went up to like 24. I mean, I just said, what the heck? I still got what, 80 left. I'm like, I'll be good. It doesn't hurt anything. I'll hold him on my bench. If he doesn't come back, then so what? $24 spent. Probably wasn't gonna use it anyways, seeing how little is out there right now.
Right. Definitely spoken like a true veteran of the league, knowing that some people were gonna bid on Marshawn Lynch. So probably a good thing you up your bid. You know, you preseason, you kind of talked about, you know, at one point how bad your team might be. It doesn't look like it's going to be that way. Do you kind of regret saying that, or you think you were, or, you know, I mean, now you're Nostradamus, but you did say you didn't think your team was going to be very good at first.
No, I mean, my team is one injury away from being down there with Shane. but truth be told, like I said, if I have one major injury to one of those receivers, my team is kind of in the tanks. Luckily, like I said, I got a great quarterback this year in Drew Brees, and I have a nice set of some stud wide receivers that should carry me as long as they're healthy. If we're healthy, as I said, we should compete every week. I don't know if I'll win every week, but we should definitely be in the running. And should more than likely be in that top six to make this playoffs this year.
Yeah, it'll definitely keep you in the mix if you stay healthy. So, you know, high score, you got $10 for the week. What you gonna do with your big money?
Yeah, I'm gonna save it off to the side. You know, I'm gonna hold on to that until I get a little bit more, and then I'll decide where I'll spend that. Try to get a few more of these, and then hopefully get that big pot at the end, and then we'll take a trip or something.
There you go. You can really do something with that. So, all right. Well, we appreciate you coming back on, Ron. You got any more predictions? You gonna be on next week, or you know, anytime?
Hell no. You playing me?
Oh man, you you in for a rude awakening ish if that's you, but in that I heard.
I don't know what you think is going to happen, but Odell going off.
I mean, that's cool. Dez is not going to go out 2 weeks like he just did, right?
Man, Dak can't pass more than 10 yards, so good luck.
Hey, that's exactly where they're going to get him the ball at. You all that stuff that Cole Beasley had and stuff last week, you're going to see Dez running those little slants and catching it short, taking it to the house. Watch what I tell you. The great Nostradamus has spoken.
All right, the great Nostradamus. Appreciate you coming on again. And I'll say good luck this week. I don't think Ish is really going to say good luck. But good luck, sir. And we will talk to you in the future.
Good luck.
I appreciate it.
Fantasy.
I appreciate it. You guys, good luck to all of you. The same. Hopefully we'll be in this spot again. I might, if I get high points again this week, I'm gonna nominate somebody else to come on and be the special guest, so we can change this thing up a little bit.
All right, there you go. Sounds good.
Good game, Ronnie.
All right, so I guess we'll kind of finish up here. Let's do a little bit of a preview, like you guys talk about your game. Maybe Ish, if you want to go first. You have a matchup, obviously, with the great Nostradamus. What are you looking at for your game this week?
You know, I mean, I really do think Ronnie has a good team. And I think that he won't get the numbers that he had last week from everybody. But he'll get, more production from Dez. But I really think if I could get some good points from the tight end position, some good points from Odell and Cruz. You know, Cruz looked good to me last game, and I think that they're just shaking off some rust. If we could do that, and Minnesota can play a little better than they're projected against, Green Bay. You know, I think I have a good shot at winning this as well. But no, don't get that mistaken for me being confident like I'm. Win. No. Ronnie has a great team. I think he's a contender at this point.
Sure.
If I could, I would have drafted Drew Brees. I really think that he's going to have a phenomenal year. Giants defense look shaky. It's going to be a shootout. Of course, we'll probably win that, but Drew Brees is probably going to have phenomenal numbers. Jordy Nelson looks great. Kelvin Benjamin looks good. I mean, I really don't know what to make of that San Francisco team. Is that defense good, or was LA just that bad, or what? But I don't know. If his players score higher than they're projected, I'm in for a lot of trouble. But, you know, D'Angelo Williams is a beast. Odell Beckham can score 30 on any given night, you know, so I think I have a shot.
Yeah, you definitely have a shot. As they sit here and we speak, it looks like you're about an 11-point underdog. But like you said, if you get a couple matchups to go your way, you definitely can make it a game. If not, pull out the win. You know, a little bit of an upset, but you definitely have a shot. So, Simon, what do you think about your matchup? You have the waivers nemesis this week. What do you think about how your matchup's looking?
I mean, looking at the different teams, this is, David versus Goliath here. But what I would say is that Sammy Watkins has not got off to a good start. You know, he's only got 20 yards tonight, and he's, my leading guy at wide receiver. I think Willie Snead might end up contending for that position over the course of the season. But as it looks like right now, he's got a couple guys that seem to be injured or maybe game time decisions in Hilton, Luck, and Demaryius Thomas, but I expect all those guys are going to play. Maybe it'll affect their performance. I like some of my matchups. I like Derek Carr versus Atlanta. That's one that I'm really looking forward to. Willie Snead, I mean, you've got Drew Brees throwing you the ball. I think he's going to, over the course of the season, become his number one target. AP, I'm looking for a bounce back game. Doug Martin, I'm looking for a big game, but it's hard against Arizona. So We'll just have to see. I need a lot of my guys to do big things. I want Jordan Reed to have a bigger game than he did last time. And I hope to get that surprisingly good production from Melvin Gordon again. I mean, he scored, got in the end zone twice. So we'll just have to see. I'm just hoping, actually in the prediction, it had us neck and neck. But now that Sammy Watkins didn't do too well tonight, that's gone down a little bit. But I'm still hopeful that my team will go out and perform, though.
Right. Yeah, I think as we're sitting here, you're about an 8-point underdog right now. So, but Sammy Watkins still has about a quarter to play, so he can still get you some points. And then being only 8 points, you're definitely within range that you can make that up. So, like you said, especially if some of his guys don't play with their injuries. But I guess we'll find all that out on Monday. But as far as my game, you know, I play the Frenchman. Right now I'm a 21-point underdog because his guys tonight have gone over projections. So far he has 47 points between the three of them, McCoy, Forte, and Marshall. So that's not a good start for me, but I'm going to need some guys to step up and go over their projected numbers. I'm going to need, you know, Jamal Charles doesn't play. That I'm going to need Ware to step up again. And I'm going to need Freeman to actually do something like I was expecting him to do for Tevin Coleman took all of his action last week. So I think I have a shot against Andre, but it's going to be a little bit of an uphill battle since he got a good start here on Thursday. So we'll try to make that up come Sunday. So that covers three of the games. The other four games in the league, Skip plays the defending champ, Stairway to Seven, and Skip's off to a pretty decent start with 20 points so far and is actually projected to win the game by 1 point as of right now. Hostile Takeover faces off against Jacob High Rollers, and Hostile Takeover is an 18-point favorite at this moment. House Money takes on Sandy Ravage. Sorry. And House Money is an 11-point underdog at this moment. And Ross, the Fresh Crew, takes on the Little Teapot. And Little Teapot has 15 points so far tonight, but is still currently a 13-point underdog. So he's going to have some work to do, try to get out of that last place spot in the power rankings this week.
I remember a few years back, I went like 0-4. And then I almost made the playoffs. I was literally one game out.
You know? That's impressive.
But, yeah, I mean, it's possible, but with 14 teams and six making the playoffs, you just don't want to get stuck in that bottom, you know? You want to be around. If you really have some room to make up, you probably, by week three, you probably want to be, like, 1-2 if you're – at the lower end of the teams. I mean, you have to get at least one win, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Too big of a hole.
So what's AJ gonna win this game or not?
Oh man. Speaking of, one of us is gonna start 0-2. So he's off to a good start with I know Forte's got two touchdowns tonight and Marshall's over 100 yards. So, it's not looking good for me to start, but we got a long ways to go because I don't have anybody playing tonight. So,
I like Devontae Freeman versus Oakland, too. I think you have a really good shot with that.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. I mean, a lot of it depends on if Coleman's taking his carries and his catches and all that. So I'm hoping that, you know, things kind of swing the other way this week and maybe Freeman can have a big game this week.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that Tajay Sharpe doesn't have a big game, but you know what? Let me not hate on you, you know what I'm saying?
No, I appreciate that. That's all good. That's part of the game. So, you know, if he's having a good game, he's probably taking away from you. So.
Yeah, you know, how about we split it in the middle somewhere?
Maybe we could do that. Maybe we could both pull out a win or something. So, you know, you can get started off 2-0. You take down Nostradamus already. You're going to be moving up power rankings. So,
yeah.
All right, fellas. Well, I appreciate y'all joining us for a week 2 podcast. I want to thank Ish and Simon for co-hosting tonight.
Big shout out to Skip for all his hard work and dedication to the league. Best league I've ever been part of. And, yo, Ish out.
Yeah, shout out to Skip, too. Thanks for the spot, y'all. It's been fun, and I'll be back next week to host.
All right, we'll look forward to that, and I'll echo their statement, and I appreciate all the things Skip does for this league, and it's definitely enjoyable and much appreciated. So I'd like to thank you all for joining us on our second podcast, and remember, peeps, stay extraordinarily fresh.